ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, Joel on a Way Back Wednesday. Opening up hour number two with a new theme and why. You guessed it after we play them. Title and artist all can have.
Can I guess?
No.
Title, you know what? That sounded like a little auto-tune back in the day. That chorus part?
Yeah.
It seems like he altered his voice.
A little bit. Oh, there's definitely like a computer-generated help.
And the chorus
in that
part, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That's Roger Troutman. From Zaffin
auto-tuning
Roger.
Ass.
Or that's from Roger, well, Roger Troutman.
I don't know if he really auto-tuned it or if that's something similar.
No,
but
that was...
You can tell Barry and I talk about Roger Troutman before. He was the first one to do the voice synthesizer.
Yeah, look up like Zaffin Roger and one of their like...
More Bounce to the Ounce.
More Bounce to the Ounce, Do What Diddy, all those songs.
So I guess synthesizing and auto-tuning is similar or different or slightly different?
It's about the same, yeah. Yeah. That was more synthesized. Auto-tune is usually used by people that can't sing in tune. And so it's supposed to help your... It digitally finds the key that you're looking for. So you tell it, I want to sing in D minor. That's the key I'm going to be in. And then it will find that key for you if you're out of tune.
Kind of like those apps that
now,
people
Barry,
sing
here's
into
a quick question
days
for you on that subject.
Okay.
Which came first? Roger Troutman or Peter Frampton?
Oh, he did it too.
Peter Frampton did it as well.
That's a good question. I don't know a ton about Peter Frampton.
I don't either, but I think you have to go back and kind of check like release dates and such just as a starting point, because Peter Frampton in that Marathon, whatever that one song is, he used it on the entire album, I think.
Looking at his releases, it might have been him before Zaffin
Roger. Peter is significantly older, according to Wiki.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's got at least 15 years on him in terms of age. Oh, wait. Hold on. He was born in... No. Oh, he just died earlier. So, no, they're about the same
age. Peter Frampton died?
No, not Peter.
Roger Troutman.
Roger Troutman.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm so proud of you guys for knowing who Roger Troutman is. Why? Because we're white?
Yeah, exactly.
That was racist, sir.
That's exactly right. And since I've already been labeled as such in a bad way yesterday...
As racist?
Yeah, AJ called me racist off on the show about it. And by the way, that's what I was going to say, and at some point I'll do it. But at some point, Barry and I are both Russian spies.
Why?
So after they went on their whole rant about how I must be racist because I said Teddy Bridgewater would be a great fit for Tampa Bay if they're not going to keep Jameis because he's athletic and he can play the same system.
Racist? Yes.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Nick, you got some drool in the corner of your mouth from your dog during that break. But at the same time, then they went off on, they had Lance on, and Lance continued with what you had said was an issue with your Twitter beef yesterday about the whole, they accused you of being a Russian spy.
Yes.
So then they went completely up and down the lineup several times over to try and figure out who was the most likely to be a Russian spy. And then listeners started to chime in on a 1 to 10 scale. Charlie Plill was an 11, by the way.
Yes. Well, did you see why? I made the case for why.
You made the case?
I made the case for why, but no one acknowledged it on Twitter. I tweeted, I was driving home, and I hear them, well, Plill is a spy. And they're like, no way, he's not a spy. He can't be a Russian spy. I was like, he absolutely is a Russian spy. He's the last doll in a Russian nesting doll.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah,
that's why he's so small. You start off with the big, and then every time you peel it back, boom. At the end, that's Charlie Polillo. Russian doll, Russian spy.
And on
case
that,
closed.
AJ said he's seen Charlie wear shorts and his size 7.5 Skechers. And tube socks.
Yes.
I've never seen him wear the tube
socks.
He
was rocking them today.
No.
He wears the tube socks a lot.
But they're real low. He scrunches them down then.
That doesn't sound right.
Because I didn't see his socks curled up over his...
He pushes them down like a Hooters waitress.
I've never seen him wear
the same shoes and socks as the Hooters waitress, though.
That's very true. I would like to say no, but the Skechers.
And then can I tell you that yesterday when I got here, when I got here yesterday, he was wearing his what I can only guess are tennis shorts, because they're not like they don't hit the knee. They're mid thigh at best. And when I walked up, he's sitting in the chair, and you know, on your shorts, your pockets, they sometimes, depending on the shorts you have, will go be the length of the shorts.
Yeah.
His were, but they were hanging, so his shorts were riding up his leg so that his pocket was hanging down like a sack. Like it was, I walked for a split second, I was like, oh my God, put those away, Charlie. And then I realized it was his pocket from his shorts, but that'll let you know just how short the shorts were, that if your pockets are hanging out the bottom.
Oh, so he's wearing Tasha's shorts is what you're talking about.
Pockets, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing on Charlie, and I'm not trying to bang on Charlie.
He wasn't wearing Daisy Dukes. I love Charlie,
but Charlie never throw. Granted, good for him. He's never had to throw anything away, because he still wears like the gallery furniture American flag golf shirt that we all got from Mattress Mac in the early '90s, and he still will pull that one out every now and then.
Yeah,
he's never had to throw any clothes away because they still all still fit.
I wonder when that's going to happen to me, like when your style doesn't evolve anymore. Because let's be honest, Palillo's stuck in 1995 in terms of wardrobe. Let's be real.
He still wears LA gear.
I used to always say to him, when are you going to give up?
That's a 20-year-old style.
I've said to him forever, when are you going to give up Jimmy Connors tennis shorts? Because Jimmy Connors tennis shorts were the snuggly short shorts. Like the John Stockton of tennis shorts. He still wears them.
I'm going to guess 55. At 55, I'm like, I don't give a damn. I'm not wearing these skinny jeans. I'm not going to be in style. I want to be out of style.
You think?
Yeah. I think that's my age where I'm going to be like, screw it. 65 maybe?
No, you might be right. Maybe the 50s. Well, I think it'll depend. Have you already met a woman and settled down? No. That'll determine when you stop caring.
Boy, Raheel and I were talking about...
You're still rocking the white pants?
You did say you were going to wear them today, and you did.
I hope.
Is that the Forever 21 shirt?
Yep.
No.
It has to be.
My wife got me the shirt. I don't know where she got it. I think this is a Gap shirt. Okay.
Does she shop at Forever 21?
Huh?
Does she shop at Forever 21?
No, just me.
I was going to say, because otherwise I can't see Nora going rack to rack going, now Barry might like this. I think I'm going to bring this home as well.
Oh, this is a cute blouse for my husband.
Have you shown those white pants to the for the camera yet or no?
I hate you.
See, show that. Yeah.
Look, you happy?
No, you got to do it in the front of the front. Yeah.
Are you happy?
Nobody wants to see your shoes.
Are you happy? Look at those.
I hope you order some honey shoes. Sriracha wings from Cowboys and Indians and spill it all over those white pants. That's what I hope.
Really?
Yeah.
You do?
I hope you ruin your pants.
You hope I get my period today?
Yeah. Wow. I wasn't going to say that, but you know.
By the way, 4624 on the text line guessed correctly what the theme is for hour two. Already. One song. Already guessed
theme
right.
And why?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised AJ hasn't chimed in, because last week that's
last
what
week
he was
full participation.
Was he trying to get it?
Every hour. Yeah.
Huh.
And Mark Villalobos tweeted us all a jar of peanut butter that says dog's butter. No, that's not what we're talking about. Penis butter is the one that Nick has taken to Shark Tank. Or Barry's taken to Shark Tank for Nick.
Yes, that is true.
Yes.
There was some kid that continued to say penis butter in the car after Barry said it yesterday. Wasn't that? Did someone tweet that in?
Someone texted it and said, now I can't get my kid to stop saying penis butter.
My three-year-old won't stop saying Well, we're shaping the youth of America.
It reminds me of that 84-year-old guy. This 84-year-old named Ray Jessel performed on America's Got Talent once, and he just made this hilarious lyric, like this maybe 2-minute song, all about penis and how he dated this girl and he didn't know she had a penis and she ended up having a penis. It was hilarious.
His
name was Ray Jessel. He was a participant on America's Got Talent, and then
Heidi Klum.
She was like, now my kids are going to sing that penis song forever, you know?
Heidi Fleiss.
That's what we're doing. Not Heidi Fleiss.
You're just throwing Heidi's out there. I'll throw one.
Stop it. So that's what we're doing. We're shaping the youth of Houston. I like it.
Executive producer Josh Rapp said that he found a tweet from a guy named Jordan Marks that said, my biggest hope for the remainder of Hard Knocks is Bob Wiley gets more camera time. I mean, what a legend. I'm pretty sure he's Andy Reid and Mike Holmgren's love walrus.
Love walrus?
Yeah, I think
I like that.
I liked ours too, though.
The love walrus.
Yeah.
I dig that. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
No?
I liked ours better.
So Bob Wiley is the first Russian spy. Palillo is the last one.
Oh, in your, that's a good.
Russian nesting doll.
In the nesting dolls.
I like it.
That works. That
could be it. Although he's not keeping many secrets. He's not hiding many secrets in those shorts. Palillo is.
No.
Not hiding them away at all.
He's not John Sally.
That wasn't nice. That wasn't nice at all. Oh, guys, I got to tell you about Cowboys and Indians Texas Kitchen. I love this place, man. I'm telling you guys. Listen, I don't know how many of you can hear my voice that haven't been to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen yet, but if you have not gone out there yet, you are doing yourself a disservice. Every single listener that has gone out there, and just this past weekend, people were tweeting me pictures of their food, but everybody that's gone out there and tried the food has gotten back to me and told me how much they love the food, and I'm so confident that you're going to love it too. Get out there. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. What I love about Cowboys and Indians is the diversity of the menu. It's Southern comfort food. It's Indian food. It's the best of both worlds. And you have your choice. So let's say you're not feeling Indian food, but your wife is. No problem. You can get like a chicken fried steak. She can get chicken curry. Everybody's happy. I do recommend one thing for sure, though. This is my go-to meal at Cowboys and Indians, and I recommend you all try this at least once. When you get there, first of all, tell them you listen to The Usual Suspects. Tell them you heard me talking about them, and then order the non-quesadillas. They're going to give you 20% off of those, and then you move on to the Himalayan Heat Burger, one of the best burgers in the city of Houston. Top it off with some red velvet cake. Man, you will go home happy, full, and satisfied. They've got a full-service bar. They've got TV, so you won't miss the game. And if you don't want to leave the house, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub, your choice. All of them bring delicious Cowboys and Indians food to your doorstep. And don't forget, tonight, Wednesday, every Wednesday, 7 p.m. is trivia night. So you can go check that out as well if you're in the Midtown area. For more information, look them up on Facebook, CNI713. That's CNI713, 1901 Taft in Midtown. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Way back Wednesday, as we said, guess the theme, guess the reason why. We already went through hour number one, dogs due to Nick.
Some good guesses out there.
Yeah.
Laminack not in the studio, as usual.
Here is a bit of a throwback to the movie, To Live and Die in L.A. Not only did they, everybody have fun tonight, everybody Wang Chung tonight, but Wang Chung also sang this song, To Live and Die in L.A. A little bit of a hidden gem, Nick. A Casey Kasem, did you know, if you would. So, Astros win last night. I watched. I don't know if you did. But the big thing to me was, you know what, I think that obviously the A's aren't going away. The Rangers are doing nobody with the Astros any favors. They're just laying down. They haven't scored a run in the first two games. So the A's are just pounding them. And so I'm watching the scoreboard, and then I'm watching what's going on at Safeco Field. I'm going, good Lord. You know, they've got to find a way. And thankfully, Altuve seems like just having him in the lineup brought some energy. But not exactly the best start in the world. But they did what they had to do. What a great pitching performance and I want to say his first name right. But Valdez was fantastic. They called this kid up from the minor leagues. You don't know what to expect. Obviously, it's bullpen by pitching by committee last night to try and just get through the game and possibly, you know, get to the late innings so you can get to the back of the bullpen. And instead, this kid just steps up and throws his ass off. And, you know, they were talking about getting his first strikeout. And unfortunately, on his first strikeout, Stassi drops the ball. It goes behind him and it scores a run. And then they want to still save the ball. I'm like, I don't know if I'd want that. But he then got another strikeout. But just, I mean, exactly what the doctor ordered when they needed him to step up. It was fantastic, and they got the win. So he went 4 1/3, only gave up two hits, was a little wild, hit two people, walked another. But overall, just when you needed him most, Framber Valdez steps up and does a great job for the team. That's the first time all year that they did not use one of their original five starters. They're the only team left in baseball that had only used five until last night.
So is this the last game of this series, or is there another game?
Yeah, day game about to start in about 12 minutes.
Oh, day game.
Day game today wraps up Seattle. Tomorrow they're off. Then they open up a series in Anaheim. I think it's only a two-gamer before they come back home. So, you know, and again, you'd like to say, well, maybe some home cooking too when they get settled in, but you know how they've been playing at home lately.
Yeah, so one more game against the Mariners on the road and three on the road against the Angels.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
That would be correct. Mm-hmm. And then back at home against the A's on Monday, and that series starts. So it's, I think, a three-game homestand on that one. So
yeah, you got to get the best of the A's when they come in again, because holy cow, I mean, like I said, and the Rangers aren't doing anybody any favors in Houston. They're laying down and playing dead. They haven't scored a run yet. They're getting their ass kicked all over the field. And again, with every passing game, A's get more and more confidence because they know that they're in it. And until the Stros finally put the game away last night, the bottom line was there was a portion of time where the A's were in first place in the division.
So, yeah, they did mention that, where they're like, oh, I mean, we don't want to say nothing, but right now.
Yeah. Not that I would ever look at it that way, but that's just from the simple standpoint, from their standpoint, they got a whole lot of confidence right now.
Sure they do, but I think getting Altuve back, getting Springer back, that's going to give this team, this Astros team, a lot of confidence as well. So they're not going away, like you said, and I don't think anybody's more shocked than me. I really didn't expect this team to be able to stick around as long as they have. They've piecemealed it together. I just keep waiting for them to collapse, and they're just, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw the Mariners kind of stumble a little bit. They got Cano back, but they're still, you know, they're 5-5 over their last 10. But I don't know. You look up and down the American League, there's only one team with a worse record over the last 10 in the AL than the Astros, and that's the Baltimore Orioles. They're 2-8 over their last 10. Astros and Royals, 3-7 over their last 10.
Yeah.
That's not good company.
No, the only thing, I mean, I actually like the Red Sox losing three in a row at home just because, yeah, you know, maybe people can get off the Astros' asses too. But at the same time, like you said, the record isn't good. They're not playing great. You know, it used to be that you could take great offense when the Indians, who have been in a series and taking care of business against the Red Sox at Fenway right now, as I mentioned, and people are starting to say that's the American League Championship Series preview. It's going to be the Indians. It's going to be the Red Sox. And you want to stand up and say, how can you discount the Astros? How can you count out the team that won the World Series a year ago? But they're just not playing good baseball right now.
Not right now. I did find it interesting in last night's game that Osuna pitched the eighth inning.
And after we went through the whole thing with AJ's quote.
Yeah, after he joined MLB Network on Sirius XM and talked about the fact that that Osuna was his closer. I get it in a way, because AJ and that coaching staff, the manager and the coaches on that team, they're always going to look at analytics. That means they're always going to look at matchups. And if they feel like Osuna in the eighth inning was better for them, for that team matchup wise, than to run him out there in the ninth based on who would have, now he didn't pitch that well, but based on who would have been hitting in the ninth if he would have gone three up, three down, maybe that's what they felt like in that particular case. But he scuffled a little bit. He got out of it. You know, he got two big outs, but gave up a run.
Again.
Yeah. So it's there's certainly questions.
From my standpoint, looking at both guys right now, I just don't have, and we talked about this back to the Ken Giles days, I just don't have that supreme confidence when you see either guy on the hill right now that they're just going to be lights out.
Oh, Rondon
or Osuna.
I feel Rondon's pitched pretty well.
His last two times out, he's blown saves.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little uneasy.
But everybody's going to do that. I mean, that's the thing. At some point, you just hope that it's not prolonged, right?
By the way, the Blue Jays must listen to our show.
Why?
Because last night, when the Blue Jays took the lead into the ninth inning, they put a big picture of Kenny G playing his saxophone and said, now entering the game, our close. No. And I'm like, oh, you listen to the Usual Suspects, because we call him Kenny G. And he's really good with his flute in his hand. Just be careful. He throws punches and he doesn't throw strikes. And when he does, they get lit up. So Stroh's about to take the diamond in about 7 or 8 minutes. So they'll finish up that series in Seattle. Charlie F. and Morton on the hill, which is always a good thing.
Not bad. Oh, we got to get to these calls.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Call Expert today.
What? I'm going to go with this one first because it's your favorite.
Eric
wants to talk Astros starters. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just have a quick question. Do you think the Astros hurt their chances drafting these young players? I mean, trading these young players that came up this season because the way they didn't perform, did they hurt your trade value? I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's a good question, and one I was thinking about yesterday when we were bringing up guys like Tyler White and Derek Fisher and Kyle Tucker, and I don't think so in the long run because these guys are still going to be around. When you look at a guy like Tony Kemp, that's a perfect example of what being patient with a guy can produce over the long run. They've had Kemp up a couple of times in the last couple of years. He wasn't great. He wasn't even really good for the most part. But as he's gotten older and he's seen more, you know, major league pitching, he's gotten better. These guys are young. And I think this year, yes. Long term, no. That's still to be determined.
I agree, but here's the thing. It came up last week, and I brought you up because you and I talked about this at great length. It's amazing when you look at Tucker's still too young. He's only 19 or 20, so you're not going to – there. He's got years before
– That's my point. Yeah. These guys are young
enough. But the J.D. Davises, you're starting to slip a little bit. But the biggest thing was a year ago, the two untouchables on your farm system roster of rated talent were Derek Fisher and Martez.
Uh-huh.
Martez just had Tommy John surgery, and Derek Fisher has been a disappearing act and offensively has really, really struggled. So you just never know. So – I mean, you have no choice but to go with what you go to. But this is why we always say, this is why you trade a prospect for a given major league player when you have a chance to win. Because prospects are 50-50 at best in most cases.
Yeah, if that.
But, yeah, but you got to win. When you have a chance to win now, you go for it. That's why you go for it.
Yeah, that's why a lot of folks talk about the fact that if you could trade a young guy for an established major leaguer, you should always do
that.
Gotta
do it.
Because you don't know. I mean, it felt like Derek Fisher was a can't miss. It felt like Kyle Tucker was going to be a can't miss when he came up. And some people, it just takes longer.
And the Martez thing, just...
You look at the Braves, Acuna, everyone was for sure he was going to be a stud, and he was. So you just don't know.
Right.
You just don't know how guys are going to perform.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. And it might take longer. Who's the guy in Boston? I had him as my rookie of the year last year, Benintendi.
Yep.
He scuffed a little bit out of the gate, and he finally picked it up. But some guys react differently to the pressure and the spotlight in the majors.
No doubt about it. All right, we're at the midway point. We're going to take a break. KJ, don't go anywhere. We'll get you after the break. Talk a little bit more Astros. We can also mix it up, talk about a lot of other things. Barry mentioned a little bit about the Texans. We'll get some NFL news out of the way. And, of course, if you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with the second half. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, back on The Usual Suspects. Before we get to hour number two of the big show, and Nick will give us that introduction in just a minute, I do want to tell you about Infuse Energy. It's a locally owned and operated energy company owned by Josh Pestikoff and his staff. I tell you because I believe, because I use, because I went and made the switch to Infuse Energy about a year ago, and it's amazing the amount of money that they have saved me in 12 months' time. How do I know? Well, they send you a weekly breakdown of your bill, when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and then from year-to-year comparisons for the same period of time, like the same month of July in 2017 versus 2018 and such, and it really helps you to try and figure out how you can reduce your energy bills, how much energy you're using, et cetera, and it's just another way that they try and help their customers. They're very much customer service friendly and focused. They want to make sure that they never confuse you, deceive you, obscure you, or try and trick you. They're 100% honest, and sometimes that means they'll lose your business because they'll tell you there's a better price out there from their competition, but it doesn't happen very often. The main thing you need to do is just call them and give them a try, see what they can do for you. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. Slow down, Joel. You're giving him too much of a discount. But you know what? Negotiate. Maybe they can work that in there as well. But Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a fantastic job. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you get a green plan. That offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. And, of course, it helps decrease your carbon footprint. And they go from there. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
90 on top, 90 from behind.
KJ's I don't know on the why phone. The behind always comes in.
I usually say rear, so you told me not to. So I'm replacing it but with behind. That's interchangeable.
Are what we use.
KJ's on the phone.
90 KJ. In the books, 90 still
KJ
to
wants
go.
To talk Astros.
90 left in the big show.
Always.
Peanut butter in the back door. Nick is at your beck and call.
See.
Always put 90 in the rear. I don't know why you got to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. The dogs are starting to bark. But they always got your balls.
Wow. That took a turn.
Thank you very much. KJ, you want to get in here talk Astros? What's going on?
Hey, man. Nick, just stop trying to do the little catchphrase, man. Just say, you know, say we're back and we get off at four, whatever.
We're back and we get off at four. Never
What's up, fellas? So let me preface this by saying that ever since they... November 1st, 2017, I've had a completely different perspective when it comes to all the teams that play in this town. And my perspective has been, man, the Astros are the world champions. What are we worried about? So I'm saying that to say this. I'm not worried, number one, because last year when Cleveland had to win 24 games in a row just to catch them, and Cleveland didn't even make the ALCS, the same thing. And last year we didn't have significant injuries. We've had significant injuries to the top three players this season, yet they've still held on. Marwin has stepped his game up, and it may be a positive. That's the positive you can take out of them is that, yeah, they were 3-7 in their last 10, but Marwin is hitting the ball now. Tyler White has stopped looking at strike three. And that's Derek Fisher's problem. Tyler White, Derek Fisher, J.D. Davis, all of them. Stop looking at strike three. that's something that I cannot fathom of how they continue to do that. But I'm saying all that to say, stop worrying, Joe. It's going to be okay. And even if it don't pan out, they're going to make the playoffs.
KJ, that's what I was going to ask you. I like, you know, and I, for 2 weeks now, I've talked about the fact that I just don't think there's enough concern. But here's my question for you because of what you're saying to me. What happens if they don't make the playoffs? Or what happens if they just make the wild card and they get bumped out in one game? Because Verlander hasn't looked his best lately.
You still, if that happens, I understand. I respect it. It's going to be disappointment. But you also have to go back and look at the previous champions, you know, and it hasn't been done since, what, 2009-10, number one. That's why I prefaced the whole call with, I've had a completely different outlook since they won because they were so bad for so long, and we've longed for a championship for 20-plus years that you have to just appreciate what they did, and you also have to understand that they were way ahead before they started having these injuries. I mean, way ahead.
That's a good point.
And those injuries are not, you know, but in the bottom line, I think also, you know, Verlander, the starting pitching was just insane, okay? They really wasn't hitting at the beginning. But again, I've said this last year, and I'll say it again. When Marwin hits and when George hits, they win. Now, that goes along with everybody else just chipping in every now and then. But when you got Marwin and George hitting, they win, and that's who essentially won the World Series for them. Because Altuve going to do Altuve, Correa going to do Correa, but George and Marwin. We get George back healthy, Marwin keeps doing what he's been doing, they'll be all right.
Hey, appreciate the call, KJ.
Y'all have a great one, man. Hey, and leave that peanut butter alone, whatever you're doing with it, Nick.
Shut it, KJ.
He brings up a lot of good points. And one that I had mentioned, I think yesterday, briefly, though, is remember this part of the silver lining in this is a lot of these guys like Altuve and Springer and Correa have gotten some rest. They've played a lot of baseball over the last couple of years. So it sucks that they've been out, but they've gotten a lot of rest. And to his point about making the playoffs, you said, what if they don't? It's virtually a lock that they make the playoffs. Here's why. The Mariners are 4.5 back. Right now, when you look at the wild card race, it's the Yankees and either the Astros or the A's because they're tied. So whichever team doesn't win the division has the second wild card spot. Then that would mean the Mariners would have to catch either the Athletics or the Astros to get that second wild card spot, which means they would have to catch them for the division as well. So if you don't think that the Mariners, if you're saying the Astros can't make the playoffs, you're basically saying the Mariners can catch them. Do you think the Mariners can catch the Astros? And the
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
Because the next team after that is the Angels the Rays at 11 back.
I don't think it's out of the realm because it is still single digits. It's still like 5, right? 6 in the loss column?
4.5 is the, right. the Mariners are 4.5 behind the A's and the Astros.
Yeah, so split the difference. 5 then, okay?
Okay.
And say that if it was, you know, 9 or up to 10, 11, sure, I would say there's no way. But and the other thing is because Paxton's out. If Paxton was back, I'd be like, okay.
And Felix Hernandez.
But here's the thing, Robbie Cano against the Astros against the other night. They're keeping D. Gordon at second. He is an extra stick at first base. If he's willing to play first base, that's a bonus for them. So but I just don't feel comfortable. And again, to KJ's points, and they are good points, but the reason why I bring it up, and I'm not saying I'm freaking out, but I'm saying I think there should be a little bit higher level of concern, is because last year, the second half of the season, after they got out of that big lead that KJ was talking about, they played 500 ball for the final 75 games after they got out to the big lead. This year, and remember, they had the big swoon in August.
Mm-hmm.
This year, scuffling again in August.
So here's another part of it. They've got the Diamondbacks left. Yep. They've got 7 games with the A's, which even if they're just splitting, they're not gaining ground in that regard, right? If they get rolled by the A's, they get rolled. But if they're not gaining ground,
that could be a good thing, Barry, and it could be a bad thing the way the A's manhandled them the last time.
No, it's a perfect thing for the Astros. If they beat up on each other, if one team runs the table and the other one, that eliminates that team.
Having a soft schedule down the stretch where they can just manhandle. Like, for instance, the Rangers laying down for the A's right now.
Well, they have 7 against the Rangers.
Thank
the Mariners
God.
Do. The Mariners
that,
do.
I like, oh. See, I'm talking about
I'm talking about the Mariners' remaining schedule. This is why the Mariners won't catch them.
It's still an outside shot, yeah, for sure.
They've got Arizona. They've got 7 with the A's. They've got the Yankees. They've got the... They do have the 7 with the Rangers, but they also have to play the Astros. It's going to be almost... They would literally have to beat all of those teams and run the table on them to catch either the Astros or the A's. And that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's an outside shot. I'm just concerned that, like I said, that the A's are too close for comfort and they're not going away and they're getting confidence every day.
You would like to win the division for sure.
Yes.
You don't want to go into a one-game playoff with the Yankees. That would not be good.
Yeah, I hate a one-game playoff.
Win the division. But making the playoffs, I think that's a lock, a virtual lock.
Okay, there you heard it. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. It is the Usual Suspects. We'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5. Hotel California.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number 2, 3-hour show. Playing a little Way Back Wednesday today. Again, you guessed the theme and why we picked it. For hour number 2, a lot of you got hour number 1, which was the dog theme, thanks to our man Nick. Hour number 2, still up for guesses. We've had a couple.
JJ got it right.
Yeah, JJ got it right. A couple of people on Twitter got it right. But just a little different way of mixing it up for you on that. We talked Astros, and we got into a lot with the Astros. We haven't got to what was a very blazing hot topic last night at about 7 o'clock. This A&M story. And it's crazy because John and Lance were there this morning. And I thought, man, that could either really cloud things up or maybe they'll just kind of let it play out. But USA Today broke the story. A linebacker for A&M under Sumlin wanted to transfer inevitably wanted to transfer to play for Sumlin at Arizona. And in kind of a quirky twist of fate in the way the NCAA does things, and I know that never happens. They basically said, you know the rule, you have to sit out a year if you're going to transfer, or you have to have a viable reason of something that made you uncomfortable or otherwise that made the situation unbearable so that you can get out. And then as a hardship case, they will grant you eligibility immediately. And if you want any examples of that, look at what happened at Ole Miss. There were six players because of the fact that there was the huge scandal with Ole Miss and their coaching staff and everything like that, that those guys were actually able to transfer and be eligible immediately. The linebacker, his last name is, and if I can say this correctly.
Just spell it.
Marchiol. Marchiol. He filed the paperwork to say that he wanted to transfer to Arizona and play for Sumlin. But as he gave reasons as to why he needed to get out so that he could play the hardship case, he started to talk about the unfair way that the coaching staff under Jimbo Fisher and the new regime at A&M treated players, including himself, in terms of verbal abuse, in terms of the ways that they came and came at the players.
They cursed at them. They said mean things. And they said that because they said that the team was soft. Right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I just, because I feel like, to me, that's kind of important to the story, because I mean it's still football, and if you're going to start transferring because coaches are cussing at you, that's kind of weird to me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, because here's the thing. I mean, we know
there was a lot more, right?
We know. I mean, there's a lot more to it, and they're saying that several that never called out Coach Fisher directly, but his staff. And the reason why this is going to be so pertinent, but also going to be real interesting to see how it plays out, is we know what's going on at Maryland. We know what's going on at Ohio State. But more so than that, it's obviously a huge focus right now in terms of coaching techniques, the way coaches are coaching, as they would say, coaching up their players in college. But overall, you don't hear a lot of other schools chiming in or encouraging this kind of, you know, go get them on this one, because let's be honest, this is more the norm than it is a unique situation in terms of how college coaches go at their players when they get them into their university.
Exactly. I mean, they're going to discipline them. They're going to be rigid. They're going to be mean. That's part of football, and that's part of the. It's
make
always
a man
been
out of these guys. You always hear.
Yeah, it's not putting them in a shed in a dark room, which were the accusations against
Texas Tech was Mike Leach.
That's a difference than somebody just calling you a big dumb idiot, but using curse words when they do it. Part of the thing that's disturbing, but also to me, it's like what you just said. Was the fact that he said that they were given money. They were given money to give to recruits. They were given money in the bathroom at some restaurant where they slid him $400 or they slid another guy $300. If you don't think that that's not going on everywhere, and that it, once recruits are going to start getting upset and want to transfer, and that, oh, you're not going to let me transfer? You're not going to let me play? You know what? I'll tell people you gave me money. This is going to be a weird dynamic now because of the fact that this rule in the NCAA allows players to transfer, which has started with Ole Miss because of the Hugh Freeze situation.
I mentioned that, yep.
People were able to transfer. And so you can say, hey, this guy was mean to me. This guy offered me money. This guy, they helped me with my grades. This person, they got me a guy to take the test for me. It's almost like, you know, we talk about sometimes things police themselves. This might actually end up, this rule might actually end up cleaning up college football.
I was just going to say, this is a hornet's
nest. Because now you can't risk it.
Yeah, this is a hornet's nest that might start cleaning the whole thing up. Because to your point, the only difference in terms of him receiving money, because again, it was unofficial recruits on visits, and the coaching staff supposedly or allegedly gave him money to entertain them while they were there. The only difference that could possibly sway a little bit from university to university is take out the word coach and put in booster.
Yeah.
Or alumni, because the handshakes are full of greenbacks. They're going to give you money. They're going to have you driving cars. The stories go back to Vince Young all the way across the board. When there's a big time recruit or a kid they're trying to recruit, let's not be so naive as to think that, oh, that's only what you see in the movies, but it doesn't really happen. Come on, man. Seriously, it happens all the time, all over the place, and it doesn't have to be at Alabama or one of the big, big, big-time schools. It's happening everywhere. And coaches are trying to help everything from classes and grades and schedules and registration to cars and money and everything else where they can possibly make a difference so that the kid feels a special connection. And not only does he stay and play, but he probably tells others to come there and play as well.
And the crazy thing is he did all this so he didn't lose a year of eligibility.
Yeah, that's where it's going to get really, really interesting, because you're right. Now that hornet's nest that we're talking about, every kid in America is going, oh, so I can get out?
Yeah.
And all I got to do is mention the stuff they've been doing for the longest time.
Because most of these programs are not squeaky clean. They're just not. They're just, in order to compete at the highest level, there's got to be some, whether it's what's going on at Ohio State where you're keeping coaches that you probably shouldn't keep, whether it's what's the allegations at A&M where you're giving players and recruits money and you're whatever it is that, the other accusations that came out, because it was the money, it was being mean, and it was something else. I forget the third one, but it's going to be interesting to see how Jimbo Fisher phased this, especially with this new contract, and he hasn't even coached a game yet, and already there's allegations. So good luck, A&M.
Going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And by the way, on the Ohio State front, Urban Meyer was in the building today. The committee was supposed to be having a hearing to deliver their findings and to see the outcome of what's going to happen at Ohio State. And we still don't know what's going on at Maryland.
The other one was off-season workouts. They were supposed to be voluntary, involuntary, or, you didn't have to be there, but they
involuntary were workouts that they really meant were...
But they were outside
of mandatory because they were actually doing grading and things for players.
And they were outside of the NCAA allowed workouts. So
there you have it. Hey, hour number three is coming up next. The sports mappers are going to join us, so don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark.